The year is 1607 and the play is about to begin. It was written by William Shakespeare just 5 short years ago. Actors gather on a wooden stage. The boards creak beneath their feet. A young man steps forward and clears his throat. Brandishing a sword, he cries, "Who is there?" This is the famous opening line of Hamlet. A performance of Shakespeare's greatest tragedy has begun. At the time, England is alive with dramatic energy. Theatres in London attract enthusiastic crowds night after night. But this performance is not taking place in London. In fact, it is happening more than 4,000 miles away on a ship moored off the coast of Sierra Leone. The actors are sailors from the East India Company voyaging in search of silk and spices. Their stage is the wooden deck of their vessel, bleached white by sun and spray. The ship has been anchored for several weeks as landing parties have battled with villagers for fresh food and water. One evening, the sailors return with a group of local dignitaries. They want to put on a show for their guests. It is the first time that a Shakespeare play has been performed outside England. But the salon audience easily recognizes what is happening. It resembles scenes in communities up and down Sierra Leone. Actors across the land regularly wore extravagant costumes and brought characters to life before gleeful audiences. Sierra Leone has always had a culture of performance. The oral tradition in Sierra Leone goes back to the beginning of time. Tribes, families, and households preserve their memories through poetry, songs, and plays. Even now, to decode the soul of modern Sierra Leone, you must look at its languages. What are they? Where did they come from? And most importantly, how are they used to continue the country's ancient storytelling traditions? Almost 400 years after the sailors put on their show, another Shakespeare play came to Sierra Leone. This time, however, its lines were delivered not in Elizabethan English, but in Sierra Leonean Creole. It was a thrilling moment and the result of years of toil of one of the country's most original and audacious thinkers. I am Charlie Hafner, a playwright, historian, and traditional storyteller. And this is Saloon Stories, a podcast series about life and culture in my home country, Sierra Leone. This episode looks at Julius Caesar, a translation of one of Shakespeare's most important plays into Sierra Leone's most common tongue, Creole. I want to know what Julius Caesar can tell us about language in Sierra Leone. And what can Sierra Leone's languages and stories tell us about its identity? Sierra Leone is a society of many tribes, communities, and ethnic groups. Creole, spelled K-R-I-O, is the lingua franca of Sierra Leone. Almost everyone speaks it, from educated folk in the big cities to ordinary villagers in the provinces. For anyone interested in languages, Creole is like Aladdin's cave. It originated in the transatlantic slave trade. Africans violently captured and transported across the ocean spoke a multitude of tongues. In the darkness of the castles and the ships, in the heat of the plantations and in the fields, millions of people were forced to find ways to communicate in the most disorientating and disturbing of circumstances. Creole was the result. It is based on English, but has many French and Portuguese words. It also draws heavily on the native African languages from as far away as Congo, Angola, and Senegal. Since arriving on these shores, Creole has set down deep roots. It is by no means the only language in the country, but Sierra Leoneans are proud of it. TV channels and radio stations play shows in lively and fast-paced Creole all day and night. But this wasn't always the case.
The Creole language has always been seen as a cauldron of peak, if I could put it that way. Many people would say Creole, not a language.
This is Raymond de Souza George, better known as Papa Ray. Papa Ray is a poet, actor, and presidential advisor on cultural affairs. I caught up with him in the National Museum in the bustling center of Freetown. At the time of Sierra Leone's independence in 1961, English was the language of state business. For Sierra Leoneans, speaking English was essential if you wanted to receive an official power or privilege. Most people saw Creole as a street slang not worth taking seriously. But this was about to change.
Well, Thomas Dekker was one of, the pioneers of translating works in literature into Creole. I think Thomas Dekker laid the foundation. He sowed the seeds for Creole language to blossom into something which now serves as the lingua franca, and it can be used in literary work.
Born in Nigeria to Sierra Leonean parents, Thomas Dekker was one of the country's best-known writers. He became a journalist after failing a Royal Air Force entry test due to eye problems. His articles were refreshingly radical. He was a passionate champion of Sierra Leonean language and culture, and he believed that Creole was beautiful, and he was dismayed by its secondary status. Dekker decided to put things right. Around the time of independence, he began hatching a plan to put Creole firmly on the map. He wanted to show that far from being a street slang, Creole is a sophisticated and well-structured language. He also wanted to show that Creole had a moral worth. He wanted to prove that, like any other proper language, it could express complex ideas. To prove this point, he chose to translate none other than William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar.
Na so, that means say die don't do small good. We na Caesar friend, where we don't shut in time for free die.
Telling the story of Caesar's assassination, the play covers grand themes of death, history, and politics. Dekker thought that if one of the greatest works in English could be translated, it would demonstrate that Creole was a language worthy of respect.
Una but to make we was Anna Caesar in blood, reach we elbow, and rob some pa we sword.
Night after night, Dekker worked feverishly on the project.
Then we go waka go to the market, they pass we red sword over we aid, make we all Allah peace, freedom, and liberty.
Like a sculpture carving a block of marble, Dekker's manuscript gradually took shape until one day, as if by magic, it was finished. Listen to the English version of this famous speech. It is spoken here by Mohamed Soleh, a young actor from Sierra Leone.
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears. I come to bury Caesar, not to praise him. The evil that men do lives after them. The good is oft interred with their bones. So let it be with Caesar.
Now, listen to his Creole version, performed by another young actor, Mami Sano.
Paddy them, country, una already na room. Make una kakuna yes, yeah? I can't beg Caesar, I not can praise him. Them ki member bad way poor sinking don't do long after the poor sinking don't die. But plenty time, the good way person do, he bear with him bond them. Make it be so with Caesar.
These Creole lines are unmistakably Shakespearean. Dekker has put the story of Julius Caesar into an African language. He has fused ancient Rome with contemporary Sierra Leone. It was something that had never been done before, and it was an instant hit. Thomas Dekker's play had an electrifying effect, and a new generation was inspired to enjoy art in Sierra Leone's own languages. But on a deeper level, the translation of Julius Caesar was nothing new. Performance and storytelling are the livelihood of communities across West Africa. There is a term for this, the oral tradition.
tradition to me includes a great many things. It includes song, it includes poetry, it includes formal recitation, and it also includes the kinds of stories that are passed down through families, which we used to call back of house stories. So the kinds of stories that were told often by women round the cooking pot, and family oral histories too.
I am speaking to Aminata Fona. Aminata is an award-winning author of numerous books.
I've begun to lose count. I've written 4 novels and 2 works of non-fiction and 1 academic book. Essays, countless. Articles, countless. Reviews, countless.
Aminata was born in Scotland, raised in Sierra Leone and Great Britain, and spent periods of childhood in Iran, Thailand, and Zambia. She is half Sierra Leonean, and her saloon heritage has inspired some of her best-known work.
I would say Sierra Leone has tended to be more plays. And I think it's also the reason we produce so many poets, is because poetry has been a large part of our form. But also, I would say that each family has its own holder of the oral tradition. And my interest in the oral tradition came really from investigating the antecedents of my family and finding that person in our family who held the oral tradition.
The extraordinary thing about Sierra Leone's oral tradition is its flexibility. Over many generations, the same stories can be told again and again with remarkable accuracy. I am certain that some of the stories I tell my own grandchildren today are identical to those my great-great-grandparents told theirs. However, because the oral tradition is spoken rather than written, it also lets stories change with the times. They can incorporate new characters, absorb new details, and subtly update their messages to reflect the evolution of society.
So it's got all of that flexibility. I don't doubt it for a moment. I mean, I think we should be a little bit careful about, you know, I'm a writer, so writing is very important to me, but I know the limitations of novels. You know, they can seal things in stone, which are never meant to be sealed in stone, you know, and that's what the oral tradition does quite naturally, is just keep updating. What it doesn't have, of course, is a record that you can put in a library and come back to many years later. But you know that the saying, when a old person dies in Africa, it's like a library being burned.
Thomas Dekker's translation of Shakespeare's Julius Caesar was important because it fused the written and the oral traditions in a uniquely African way. Suddenly, a great story was accessible to speakers of an African tongue. And at the same time, the story itself took on a distinctively African character.
We had flown out the Nottingham Players Company, this was, in 1964, on, I think, one of the only flying days in January, because it was the most appalling weather. And I only remember because I have the straightest hair imaginable. We got out of the plane and my hair suddenly went woof! To kind of mass of girls.
Today, Dame Judi Dench is one of the world's most famous actors. But in 1963, aged only 29, Judi travelled to Sierra Leone as an apprentice, still learning her craft.
We never ever had such reactions to the plays. Somehow everything made people laugh a lot if it rhymed. So my line, "The Thane of Fife had a wife, where is she now?" It used to go down a bomb. But they were studying the plays in school. It was unbelievably exciting. It was an unrestrained reaction and an unrestrained audience. People longing to say things and pointing, and you know, it was thrilling, quite frightening.
Performing Shakespeare so far away from home was a life-changing experience.
In the middle of Twelfth Night, I said in the very end of it, "And I most jocund apt and willingly to do you death, 1,000 deaths would die," and fell down on the floor, passed out, because I got malaria. It's going to West Africa and Sierra Leone was a great highlight of my career. Because nobody had done it before. We were the very first lot to do it. And it was, you know, off into the unknown.
I tell her that, strictly speaking, it had been done before by the East Indian Company sailors performing Hamlet off the coast of Freetown 400 years ago. Maybe Judy had been the next.
I can't believe we were the next. We were, might well have been. I have to write that down. I have to write that down. A lot of sailors, how did they rehearse? Who was on the ship that even thought of that? How is it suggested to them that they should do Hamlet? That's an extraordinary piece of history.
At the time of its independence, Sierra Leone needed reassurance that its native culture and languages could prosper without the crutch of English. Julius Caesar achieved this. Today, up and down the land, performers act out or tell stories like it in a multitude of tongues, inspiring and educating the next generation, just as the generations before them have done. Join me next time as we listen to some saloon music and find out what makes it tick. This episode of Saloon Stories was presented by me, Charlie Hafner. It was written and created by myself and Sam Williams and edited by Nadia Medhi. The executive producers were Sam Williams and Max O'Brien, mixing by Naomi Clark. Saloon Stories was produced by Novel for AfriCell.